Well, thanks for being here today. What a beautiful day we have outside. It's a brisk, cold morning, but the sun is shining, and I'm so thankful that you're here. We want to welcome those of you who are on Facebook with us again. I tell you, it's been a fun journey doing that as far as our church is concerned and opening up our service, opening up the ministry of what God is doing here at the church to people around us, people who can't come to church. And so it's been such a neat thing. So today, we're winding down. I want to jump right into to our sermon today because we're winding down the Ten Commandments study. So if you've been with us for the duration of this study, it's been fun, it's been interesting, we're learning a lot, we're digging deep. And so today, I want to show that graphic again on the slide for us to memorize, because it's good to memorize the Ten Commandments. And I've been told, and I've experienced in my own life, that it's easy to memorize something through pictures. And so for me, I thought, you know what? I don't care how old you are. I don't care how mature you are. I don't care if you've been a Christian for years and years. We're going to learn the Ten Commandments through pictures this morning and through the remainder of this sermon series. So let's kind of go through. I hope you're remembering, hope you're memorizing as we go through the repetition of learning and memorizing the Ten Commandments. Number one, you shouldn't have any other gods before me, right? Keeping God first, number one, first and foremost. Number two, in the shape of a two. You know, don't bow down, don't have any idols in your life. Remember that we're talking about that. Number three, don't take the Lord's name. That's with the lips. Don't take the Lord's name. Don't say that I'm a Christian and that live a different lifestyle. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Don't speak out that you're a Christian and you live a Christ life, and then you live a different way. That's taking God's name in vain. That's number three. Number four is you see that Bible with the cobwebs on it in the shape of a number four. Keep the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Set apart. God had to do it. He created in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And so we understand that's a commandment. Number four, we got to honor that. Number five, little mom and dad in the shape of fives, right? You getting it? Let's honor our father and mother. Number six, that little bomb in the shape of a six. We are not to commit murder. Not to commit murder. Number seven, we talked about last week on Valentine's Day. Don't commit adultery. Don't break the heart with that number seven. You see how the seven is dividing the two halves of mom and dad, husband and wife. Don't commit adultery. And so today, as you see the little burglar on its side with the number eight, memorize it. The little burglar, what do burglars do? They steal. So you're not to steal. And we think that this one is kind of one of those, again, you know, as we read through these, I was thinking about like doubling some of these up and thinking, okay, we can kind of get through this a little quicker. But then as I'm going, I'm thinking, wow, there's some stuff in here that we need to be talking about. There's some things in here that we need to be talking about. I thought number eight would be like, yeah, we all get it, right? We're all churchgoers. We're all Christians in here today, and we get it. Even if you're not a Christian here today, you know that you're taught not to steal. You're just taught that when you're young. You know better. You don't take something. You don't take something that's not yours. You don't steal a candy bar. But you see, there's so many things as I was looking this up and kind of studying this one this week. It's found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, by the way, if you're following along. And it just simply says, don't steal. That's it. Just don't do it. Don't steal. Well, let's talk about what are some of the things that we can steal. You know, what are the ways that we steal? How do we steal? There's an amazing number of ways that we can think of, and we can kind of cheat somebody. We can rip somebody off. I have a couple here. Maybe they will identify with you. Defrauding employers, right? Like stealing from the company. You know, you ever stolen like a piece of paper or a stapler? I don't know. You know, how big is too big? But what about stealing from the employee when you take an extra long lunch break? Stealing from your employer. What about coming in late, getting paid for it, coming in late and having somebody clock in for you? Is that stealing? Shake your heads yes. We've all been tempted to do so. What about leaving late and then clocking out on time, or leaving early and clocking out on time somehow? You see, that's stealing. That we can steal from our employers. at our workplace? What about stealing from like defaulting on loans? You know, it's one of those things. You take out a loan, you say, "Oh, sure, I'll pay that back," or you borrow money from someone. Sure, yeah, then why not? I'll pay you back, definitely. And then you just don't do it. That's stealing. Psalm 37:21. The wicked man borrows and never pays back. Psalm chapter 37, verse 21. The wicked man borrows and never pays back. A lot of people have no intention of paying you back. And so that's stealing, obviously. What about stealing from the government? Here's a big one. We're all like, well, wait a minute. They steal from us. Okay, whatever. Yeah. It's tax season. You know, you get a tax return. They're actually borrowing your money without interest. Anyway. So we won't go there right now. But what about you stealing from the government? You know, cheating on your tax returns. Say, I'm not going to really claim that much. Is that stealing? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, come on. We've got to be careful. The Bible talks about how we have to pay our taxes, pay what we owe them. We got to get over that. It's the way it goes. Tax evasion is illegal. The Bible also talks about stealing from God. Stealing from God. There's that passage in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. And it says this: "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. You ask, how do I rob God? And God answers by withholding your tithes and offerings." You see, the Bible talks about tithing, and we're not going to get into that again today, but we're talking about there is a way to rob God. We don't want to rob God. We want to make sure we're honoring him with our finances. We want to make sure that we are honoring him and with our budgets and making sure that we're giving God due, because he owns everything anyways. And so understanding that we can steal from God, and we've got to be careful. So we've got to be honest. And so as I was thinking about this, you shouldn't steal. And again, we get it. We're like, okay, we're good. I've been taught that forever, not to steal. But the honesty aspect is one that I think we like to tweak a little bit. You know, why should we be honest? Why should we? Job chapter 34, verses 21 through 22 says, "God carefully watches the goings on of all mankind. He sees them all. No darkness is thick enough to hide evil men from his eyes." So God's watching, right? I mean, God's watching. God understands exactly what you are doing, and he's watching. You know, people steal because they think they can get away with it, and nobody's going to know about it. But if you know when you stole something that someone was watching you, you'd think again. And so we understand that God is watching. You know, Satan comes by and tempts us all the time. He's like, you know what? Nobody's going to know if you steal that thing. Nobody's going to know. In fact, I told this before. I'm going to tell myself again. I'm not perfect. I stand here just as God's messenger. I'm not perfect by no means. And so I was in Home Depot few months ago, and I was buying, I shared with this before, but for some of you who haven't heard this, this was my latest temptation, so here it is, ready? I was in Home Depot, and I was buying some sheet metal, just a little bit of sheet metal. I was doing a little project, and I had a roof to put on, and this is that corrugated steel stuff that many of you guys know what I'm talking about. It's super, super thin stuff. I needed four sheets of this stuff. So I'm going through, and you get the cart ready, and you put it all together, and you get the sheets, and you pull them out, and they're so thin, you're pulling them through. And so I'm putting them in the cart, and I get four sheets in the cart. I get up, and I pull up all the way up to the cash register, and you all know Home Depot, right? Like, there's just one lady for like four little outlets, and guess what? You check out yourself, right? So I'm going through, I'm like, I got my four sheets, I got my little gun, you know, that little scan gun at Home Depot. And as I'm going through, I notice that because they're so thin, two of my sheets were really, really stuck close together. I actually had five sheets. And I was thinking about something, and the devil's like, you know, the devil on the shoulder. you know, and he's just like, oh, just keep going. Just go. It looks like you have four sheets. Click four times and walk out. And then the little angel pops up, you know, on their shoulder. You're a pastor. I'm like, oh, crap. I forgot about that. I mean, what are you thinking? You can't steal that. And then the devil, it's only like 12 bucks. Who cares? It's just 12 bucks. Nobody ever see it. They're so thin. They're just, I mean, they're plastered together and nobody would know. Just go. So much easier. The angel on this side's like, you got to be kidding me. You're a Christian. That's stealing. That's like commandment 8. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. The devil on this side's like, she's an old lady. She'll never see you. There's four other people in line. She'll never, and I had a battle, I'm telling you. And I'm ashamed that it went that far. I'm ashamed. I was like, holy cow, the battle is real, people. Over some stupid $12 piece of steel. So I hightail it out of there and go. No, I'm just kidding. I took one back. And I think actually, instead of taking one back, I actually clicked 5 times and was like, all right, I got to go. I'll just pay for 5 of them. You always need some more. And so I'm glad I did the right thing, but I want to admit honestly before you as my church is that I am tempted. I'm tempted, just like anybody, to steal. And as we go through life, there's those things in our lives that are going to come up in our, and it's just going to be a little something. It's just going to be something small. But we got to be honest. Because there's a principle in Scripture that we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, don't be misled. Remember, a man will always reap just the kind of crop he sows. So we reap what we sow, and we have to understand that whatever we're sowing, whatever we're planting, is that's what we're going to get in return. So if we're planting dishonesty, if we're planting just the absolute evil in our lives, we will sow it later. But if we're planting honesty, if we're planting an understanding that that's the way we need to be, God will bless us in return. And so whatever you give out in life is what you're going to get back. If I cheat, if I steal with other people, I'm going to get cheated. It's just that it's not karma. Don't say it's karma. It's Bible. We reap what we sow into. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 27. Try to make a profit dishonestly, and you'll get your family in trouble. That's pretty straightforward. Try to make a profit dishonestly, and you're going to get your family in trouble. Proverbs chapter 21, we call it the wisdom literature. Proverbs 21, verse 6 says, dishonest gain will never last, so why take the risk? Dishonest gain will never last. So what motivates us to want to steal something? What is the motivation for not to be, so that we're not honest? Number one is greed, I think. I think greed is a great motivator. We want more, we want more, we want more. See, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And so that inner greed, that we just need more things. Number two, I think why we steal is laziness. If we're always looking for shortcuts, always looking for the quick fix, you know, many people look for the easy way out, but an honest man or woman will do the right thing every time. Pride, right? Pride. Have you ever heard somebody say, man, I made a steal today? It puffs you up, makes you feel good. It's like, wow, look at that. Look what I did. Look what I got away with. There's a pride there. So we think of those three things of the motivations behind being dishonest. And so thirdly, is dishonesty damages my character, right? Being dishonest damages your character. You know those people. You ever know those people that are like, that you just know they're fake. They're not honest. They'll tell you what you want to hear, right? They're just always just blowing sunshine everywhere they go just to make you feel good. Dishonesty damages character. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, what is a profit of man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Think about that. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? I mean, I can't help but think of Wall Street. You can't help but think of people in our world today who they would sell their soul, and they have. They've sold everything in their grasp just to gain profit, just to get rich. It's sad. It truly is sad. It truly is. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2. If you're writing these down, if you're just listening to them, wealth you get by dishonesty will do you no good, but honesty can save your life. You see, Satan's a thief. He's the one, he's a liar. He's the master of lies. And so wealth you get by dishonesty will do no good, but honesty can save your life. So on the other hand, God is always truthful. God is always honest. Never, never dishonest, and so should we as Christians. Every time I make a decision, and every time I think about stealing or being dishonest, it doesn't matter how small or insignificant, I'm choosing to side with the devil when I'm thinking about stealing. And so there's something about commandment number 8 that we've got to take a look at. God rewards honesty. Did you know that? Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20. Honest people will lead a full, happy life. But if you're in a hurry to get rich, you're going to be punished. Proverbs chapter 28. See, I love honest people. I love honest people. I'm gonna pick on one of you in here today. We've got a great cleaning lady here at the church. We all know Ruth Ann. And Ruth Ann came to me today, or this week. She stopped in my office as she was cleaning, and she said, "Pastor, I just wanted to tell you something, and I just wanted to make sure that you knew that there's some milk in the fridge downstairs that's going old. It's gonna go bad. So I'm gonna take one of those home." And I'm like, "Oh, that's fine. Then she hands me this envelope. And there's a $1.380 in there, whatever gallons of milk cost. I'm sure it's the right amount. And she said, "Here, I just want to pay for that gallon of milk." I said, "Oh, Ruth Ann, don't worry. It's going bad anyways. Go ahead and take that. I mean, nope, you give that to the church. Thanks, Ruth Ann, for being honest." I mean, the Lord blesses that. I mean, that is what a great quality in a person, to be honest. I mean, we'd see that gallon of milk, some of us, and it's like, "Yeah, it's going bad. I'm just going to take it home." But Ruth Ann wanted to make sure she was being honest before the church. So we got a great cleaning lady. Thanks, Ruth Ann. And so understanding that God rewards honesty, even if it's an old spoiled gallon of milk. Honesty leads to a full, happy life. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20. Why? It's because you don't have any skeletons in the closet. There's nothing you're worried about. You don't have to worry about saying the wrong thing because you've lied to somebody and you've stolen from something and you have to make sure all your ducks are in a row. No, you live a good life because you're honest. You're honest. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And moreover, it's dishonest with very little and can be dishonest with much." And so the point being is that saying that if God can trust you with something like a gallon of milk, he's going to be able to trust you with thousands of gallons of milk. You see, that's the beauty. When we go before God, when we understand as Christians, let's just be honest people. Let's just be honest people. The world says differently, don't they? The world says differently. "Oh, it's just that. Don't worry about it. I take those all the time. Oh, don't worry about it. The company they're a million-dollar company, billion-dollar corporation. Don't worry about that. They can afford another one." The 8th commandment, don't steal. It's pretty simple. And so as we think about our lives, and again, this is not one of those aha moments for you. I hope not, in fact, but maybe it is. Maybe it's a sermon for you that just says, "Yeah, that's a great reminder. I've got to make sure that I get rid of the little devils off my shoulder. Get rid of temptation. Flee from the temptations of all of those little things." But let's not minimize, right? Let's not minimize the 10 commandments. God gave them to us for a reason. They must be important. So let's honor those. let's take those and make sure that we're honoring God with our lives as Christians. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up as we kind of close out today. And this is one of those times where I'm telling you, this message hit me, and I'm hoping it would challenge your heart today too. As we think of something so small like, oh, you shouldn't steal, you know, come on, I don't worry about that. I don't think about that. But guess what? We've broken a law of God. I have broken a law of God. I've stolen things before. I mean, from when I was a kid, I've taken things. We're guilty. When it comes to the law, we've made mistakes. So the beauty about preaching the Ten Commandments and knowing that we make mistakes, we don't measure up, the beauty is that we have forgiveness through Jesus Christ. I'm talking about staplers today. I'm talking about sheets of metal at Home Depot today. But maybe you're in deep. Maybe you've done something that you're ashamed of. Maybe you've done something in your past that you just have never really reconciled, or maybe there's something in your life that you're going through right now that the Holy Spirit is teaching you and talking to you right this moment. I want to be sure to tell you that this isn't doom and gloom. This isn't there for you to feel guilty and disgusted and shameful this morning. Maybe the Holy Spirit's allowing you this moment to seek forgiveness. To seek forgiveness of something that you have done in the past and you haven't really confessed that to God and say, God, I'm sorry for the things I've done. I've taken number 8 and put my face right on that little mask. I messed up. So I want you to take this moment to ask for forgiveness. Say, God, I'm sorry. Whatever that may be. Maybe a stapler at work, or maybe something a lot more. Take this moment and say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me through the blood of Jesus. I'm so thankful we live in this new covenant that we are not bound by the law anymore, but we live in a new covenant of forgiveness and grace. And for that, we say thank you to God. Amen? Yeah, thank you to God. Let's stand together. Lord, we're human. We make mistakes. We steal. We do things that are dishonest. And so, God, today I ask for your grace and forgiveness from the littlest thing on the planet that we have taken that's not ours, all the way to the largest thing that is causing us grief in life. So, Lord, today we ask that your presence would be with us as reminders of your love, your faithfulness, and your amazing forgiveness of sin. We love you today. We worship you, and we glorify your holy name.